is Isaiah 41, verses 8 to 10. Isaiah 41. And just a very short passage, 8 to 10. But before we begin, I just want to remind you that we've been doing a topical Christmas series. And we started 5 weeks ago with Christmas, a time for laughter. And we learned that if we were to have a Merry Christmas, that we need to begin with a merry heart. And then we looked at a second quality of Christmas, and that was joy. And we learned that as believers in Christ, we have much to rejoice in. And then the third subject of the series was Christmas was a time for hope. And I preached a world without God is a world without hope. People need hope. And Christmas is a time to share that hope. And then the message right before Christmas was on the virtue of love. That Christmas is about the love of God. And today, I want to speak on the last message of this series. And it is on the realization of Christmas is about Christ coming to give us power, not fear. Christ came to give us power. The power to become His children. The power to face the world that we live in, regardless of what the world is like. Follow along with me now as I read Isaiah 41. I'm going to read verses 8 to 10. But I want you to focus particularly on verse 10. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God gave this message to his prophet Isaiah, to the man Abraham, to give to the children of Israel. But it is a message for you and for me. Christ came to give us power, not fear. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning to this message, I do pray you hide me behind the cross, Lord, that you have your way in our hearts. Lord, bless the word. And if there's anybody here who does not know Christ as their Savior, may this day they understand how much you love them. Accept Christ as their Savior and receive the power to become a child of God, the power to overcome fear. We ask this together, uniting our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, terrorism has been inflicted around the world by the likes of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And they have created a world where many people are now living in fear. Even here in the United States, because of ISIS and Islamic radicalism, there is some measure of fear because of terrorism. But there is fear for other things as well. According to a Grant Bussin poll, 68% of voters now fear that our nation is headed in the wrong direction. And many young Americans don't believe that they will ever achieve the American dream. And so many of them have fear about the course of the United States. Yes, we do live in fearful times. And fear can become part of our lives if we allow it. This kind of fear can become crippling.
It can impede progress and stability, creating a paralyzing effect on our lives. Do you remember being so fearful that it was crippling? You could not even move. I remember a time like that. I was very young. I was 7 years old when I encountered this kind of fear. And it was like time was frozen. I couldn't even speak. You see, there was a bunch of thugs who broke in to our home in Camden, New Jersey, where we were living. My mom and my dad were out that night with their bowling team, bowling. The sitter was not our usual sitter. And apparently her ex-boyfriend decided that he was going to pay her a visit. Her resistance got him angry. And he and his gangster buddies broke our door, getting in the house, arguing with her. Well, my brother and I, we were up in our bedroom, but we got up and we watched all of this unfold from the stair steps. My brother, my older brother, Vito, some of you have met my brother, was never one to back down from a dare or a challenge. And he began to reprimand them from the steps. Now, mind you, I'm 7, he's 8. And Vito began to say, "Get out of our house! I'm going to tell my dad! I'm going to call the cops!" And I can remember that I was trying to say something, but the words would not come out. I was trying to say, "Shut up! You're going to get us killed!" I couldn't speak. They then chased us up the stairs. And I can remember trying to move. Felt like my feet were lead as I was trying to run. Each step. It's no surprise that as I was trying to crawl under the bed, they grabbed my leg and threw me on the bed and my brother. And they proceeded to threaten our lives and come back if we ratted on them. And they would burn our eyes out all the time with his knee in my chest and a cigarette butt stuck very near to my eye. That fear I still remember. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. Time just seemed to stop. I'm just glad that they didn't come back later, thanks to my mom. Fear can be physically crippling. In my case, it was a natural fear. But fear can become emotionally crippling. And yes, we can allow fear to cripple us spiritually. God would have none of that. Amen? So today I want to talk to you about power, but not fear. Fear affects us. Did you know that there are more than 1,000 different kinds of human fear? I couldn't believe that when I read that. That there are over 1,000 different kinds of human fear. I couldn't probably name 10. But science and the medical field tells us that there are many, many, many different fears. I learned of some interesting ones. Have you heard of gamophobia? Gamophobia. I thought it was a fear of gambling, but it's not. It's a fear of marriage. Gamophobia. And then there's homiliophobia. This one I found very interesting. It's the fear of hearing a sermon preached. Nobody here has that, right? The fear of hearing a sermon preached. And then there's arachnophobia. I had no idea what that was until I looked it up. It's the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of one's mouth. This goes to show you that all of us, men, women, and children, even the best of us as Christians, have some kind of fear. I'll be transparent before God this morning because He already knows what your fear is, amen? You can't hide anything from God. But I've tried to tell you over the course of many years that when we come here to worship God, we must worship in spirit and truth. We must die to the flesh, be in the spirit, and we must come to this place with a truthful spirit. Because God is God of truth. He knows all about you. He knows what you did that nobody saw. He knows the fears you have that maybe nobody else knows about. He knows all about them. Amen? God knows you better than you know yourself. So be honest and transparent with Him today because He wants to help you. Did you know officially about 8% of adults suffer from one or more types of phobia? And the nature of these disorders, if you want to call them that, just reflect the landscape of worry and stress of the 21st century. However, as God's children, as Christians, yes, we can overcome fears. There are times in our life we all are going to have to come face to face with fear. The fear is not something that should be easily accepted by a child of God. Amen? For God has not given me a spirit of what? Fear. We'll look at that verse in a little bit. The only fear that God encourages in a Christian's life is the fear of God Himself. Amen? Hebrews 10:31, and there are many other passages. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And over in the Psalms, we are instructed that we are to fear Almighty God. We are to have a healthy respect for God. The problem is that many, many Christian folks fear people more than they fear Jehovah God. Amen? Did you know what Jesus said about that in Matthew? Go there. Keep your finger in this passage, though. Because I do want you to learn this passage. It's a good passage to learn for the new year. Go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus said this. He said, "Fear not them which kill the body." And you know, there are a lot of Christians and Jewish people around the world who are losing their lives. And that's horrific. And it's very sad. And we need to pray that this kind of persecution stops. But thanks be to God, they can't take their soul. And Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body." And note Jesus declared in the place called hell. You know, fear is one of Satan's most effective weapons to keep you and me from fulfilling the purpose that God has in our lives. There are many times I've talked to people and said, "I would teach a Sunday school class, but I just fear public speaking." Well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, amen? If it's God's will for me to do something, He will provide all of the sources that I need. We have to trust Him. That is why the Bible says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." They're the words from our Savior. And He concluded in verse 27 of the 14th chapter of John, saying, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I've often said from this pulpit, the worst thing that can happen is we die and go to heaven. I said, "Well, I don't like that." Well, you know what? Maybe it's time that we get it right, that we get an understanding that this is not my home. Some of us are beginning to feel like a stranger in this world, and especially even in our own country. Amen? And some of you have told me that. And I understand that. But what we need to come back to is that this is not our home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's your home. Amen? Fear affects all of us. It's mentioned quite a bit in the Bible. So God knows that we can be people of fear. Over 60 times in the Scriptures, God tells us, fear not. It occurs in 144 verses of the King James Bible, including 63 exact phrases where God speaks to the fears of men. And God tells His children, just as He spoke to Abraham in Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. One of the reasons why we fear is because we have a very small and timid understanding of who God is. To be controlled by fear means that we do not have the faith in the God who loves us. And I'm not up here saying bad things aren't going to happen. I explained to you what happened to me when I was 7. That stuck with me. But I understand better now that even if something tragic happens, He promised He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. If you can get this in your heart, your mind, and deep down in your soul, you will walk freer as a Christian. You will face tomorrow with a boldness. But a lot of us haven't come to that. And probably one of the reasons why is we're really more caught up in this world. But this world is not your home. So fear will cripple your faith. A great example of these fear nots is found 5 times in the Christmas story. I love it. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary. What was the first thing that Gabriel said? First thing out of his mouth. Fear not. And I'm sure Mary was happy that Gabriel said that. I mean, can you imagine a glorious angelic being appearing before you, and the first thing is what? Fear. But Gabriel had a message, and you know the message was really from God. Angels are messengers. Fear not, Mary. Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And you know what was to happen in Mary and Joseph's life was going to change them forever. And you know, we spent a number of weeks going over the Christmas story in various passages. It did not appear at first to be wonderful at all what was happening to Mary. In fact, it was a very serious matter in the eyes of Joseph that Mary, his espoused wife, was pregnant. The Scriptures say, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, thou son of David, next 2 words, fear not. Fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Why? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now let's just back off from that a little bit. Let's put that in perspective. How did it say, well, how does that apply in my life? Well, something may come your way, unexpected. Happens if you're a human being. The doctor may pick up the phone and make a call and say, you've got this disease, or you need to come in. We saw a spot on the x-ray. And what's the first thing that comes over you? Fear. Fear. You say, but that's natural. Yes. But if you allow it to cripple you and destroy your faith, that's not for a child of God. Why? For all things work together for good. For those that love God are the called according to His purposes. Yes, God has a purpose in everything. I do not think any greater news can come to us than the announcement of fear not. Be not afraid. You know, it also came to the shepherds. And the angel said unto them, fear not. As soon as they were there in the fields and saw this angelic being, the angel said to the shepherds, and the, you know, the shepherds were simple folk. Fear not. For all I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Now imagine these shepherds. They were shaken at the bright light shown about them. Find that in verse 9 of that chapter. And the light was pure and intense. They could possibly feel it even to their joint and marrow, the very depths of their soul, this overwhelming light of these glorious creatures. They were overwhelmed by the power of the light and its presence. And the first words given to these shepherds was, fear not. Fear will cripple our faith if we falter. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Let's put our theology to work. The Bible says without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. God doesn't want us to lose our faith when tragedy strikes, when difficult times come. In fact, that's what will sustain you. Are you listening to me? I don't know what 2016 holds for you or me, but your faith will sustain you if you do not falter. For our Lord says, fear not. Time and time again, the Lord has tenderly spoken these reassuring words to His people. Do not fear. And yet how prone we are to live our days like frightened children in fear and anxiety. I know that the world that we are living in appears to become more difficult, complex, and dangerous. But everything's still all right in my Father's house. He's still sovereign. And all that He has said will come to pass. Yes, the world can be strange. It can be harsh. But this isn't your home. There's a new world coming. It's the second coming that God promised things would be different. You know, when Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World, he did not write Joy to the World about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, we love singing that at Christmas. But Isaac Watts wrote that we would have hope in the second coming. Joy to the world, for the Lord has come. That earth receive her what? King. Christ had not come as a king. In His first coming, He came as a lamb, just as it was prophesied. A lamb to be slain before the foundation of the world to reconcile a lost humanity back to a holy God. But He's coming again. And He will make this world our home. He will make the world that you and I are living in that has fallen and that is falling apart too, a place like unto the garden. You know that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. Is the Lord your helper? Is it He that you go to in the time of fear, anxiety? The psalmist said, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And the writer of Hebrews quoted it, said, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." A great example of the effects of fear we find in the Bible, in the book of the Exodus. We see the effects of fear on the Israelites when they are trapped by Pharaoh as they are exiting Egypt. And when the Israelites leave Egypt, God tells Moses basically to take 2 million people and to travel in a circle. Can you imagine that? Here they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in, and the Lord led them into sort of a cul-de-sac, as it were. Mountains on the one side and the Red Sea on the other. You say, well, it's impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. And what did they do? They feared. They looked up, the Israelites, and they saw Pharaoh and his armies approaching with their chariots, with their swords, with their bows from the west. And what was their response? Their response was fear and anxiety. Now, I remind you that the Israelites had already witnessed God working on their behalf throughout Egypt with the 10 plagues. To the point where Pharaoh finally released the Jewish people. And then as they leave Egypt, the Lord continually leads them with a miraculous cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. A visible manifestation of the Shekinah glory of God. But then all of a sudden men threaten them. And their spines become like jelly. The Lord has a continual presence with His people. If you are a child of God, His promise is, I will what? Never leave you. I will never forsake you. And yea, though I walk even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Some folks have a fear of dying, even Christians. First of all, you shouldn't be fearing what's not happening. So, well, I'm worried about it. You won't have to be. Because when you are dying, God will give you the grace sufficient to die. I've been with many people dying, and I've seen it. I've seen our sister, Michelle Moore, die. A painful death, but she died with a smile. She died knowing where she was going. The Lord never left her. And she knew it. She couldn't even speak, but she gave me the thumbs up. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. In the hour of your death, He'll be there. In a way that I cannot even describe to you. The psalmist said in Psalm 105:39, He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night to His children. And yet they feared. And they asked Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? They want to know why Moses brought them out of Egypt and even accused them of bringing the Israelites in the desert to die. Exodus 14:11. Let's not be too harsh on the Israelites. Because fear at times cripples our faith. We need to learn to alleviate fear. Let me ask you this. What do you fear right now? What is it that you fear? So I don't want to say it. You don't have to. God already knows it. I'm just trying to get you to respond to what's tying you up spiritually. Is it losing your job? Is it aging? Is it declining health? Rejection? Is it something that maybe has its roots in your finances? Not able to pay your bills. Or not able to pay for an education. Well, you don't really know that. God's only given you grace sufficient for today. Anything else is to assume upon God. Did you hear that? That's the problem with us as people. We set ourselves up for fear. Do you know that the rapture could happen right this second? Nothing else has to happen for God to take His church. Somebody, I like this. Listen to this. This isn't original, maybe. Somebody came up with this. Definition of fear. Fear is, it's an acrostic, false evidence appearing real. Don't you like that? F for false, E for evidence, A for appearing, and R for real. False evidence appearing real. And the devil will play on you with that. Do you know that we are only born with two fears? I didn't know that. I stumbled across this in my study. Two fears. The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Makes sense to me. But they're the only fears we're born with. We're not born with any other fears but those. All other fears are what? Learned. They are a byproduct of our environment. And so they can be unlearned. And that will give us hope. Someone once said, I quote, "Fear is a single closed door behind which lies the unknown." I like that. Because as we embark upon a new year, maybe some of you are fearful of what this new year brings. Most fear is just fear of the unknown. I want you to assimilate that. If I have a fear of the unknown, what does that say about my faith? Jesus would say, "O ye of what? Little faith." Remember when Jesus was in the boat and he fell asleep and the storm came up? Here's Jesus right there. And these disciples seen Jesus do miracle after miracle, you know, heal the sick, cause the blind to see, you know. And he's asleep in the boat and a storm comes up. And they wake him up, "Master, Master, we're going to die!" Jesus gets up and he just basically, from the Greek, goes, "Shh, it's calm." And he turns to his disciples and he tells them, "Why were you afraid? O ye of what little faith? Fear not, I am with you." The secret to alleviating our fears is found in a great, wonderful Bible verse. I want you all to turn to that. Keep your finger in this one, but we're going to close with this. It is found in 2 Timothy. It's in chapter 1. And it's in verse 7. Subject is God. "For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear." What has God given us? And of course, it's talking about us who have come to Him by faith, trusting in the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When our faith is placed in our God who loves us, it is more than a match for any fear. It is the inner strength that comes from God and knowing who you are in Him. In fact, according to that verse, God does not give us the spirit of fear, but supplies us with the spirit of power. That's why I titled the message, "Power, Not Fear." This literally means that God gives us, when He speaks of giving us, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, that God literally has given us the indwelling Holy Spirit to keep us from going hysterical and being paralyzed by fear, because the Holy Spirit in you enables you to stay calm. Go read Matthew 6. His eye is on the sparrow. If he's watching the sparrow, do you think he's not watching you? You are much more valuable, Jesus said, than a sparrow. Remember God's power. But I also want you to remember and to claim His promises. These two things are instrumental in overcoming fear. who am I? I am a child of God. And God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, of a sound mind, a discipline because of the Holy Spirit in me. Remember His promises. Listen, none of us live in a vacuum. And that being true, we must put something in place of the fears that we want to come to reject. How do I do that? May I suggest that we replace a fear with a promise of God. For Christmas, my wife and I gave, hopefully you all got one, a little gift called the Bible Promise Book. If you didn't get one, I have some extras in my briefcase. Be happy to see that you get one. But I gave this to you that you would understand that God has promised His children wonderful things. The Bible has a perfectly matched promise for every fear that anyone would ever face. Gotta claim the promises. Therefore, find a promise that expels your fear. Memorize it, so it's readily acceptable in your mind, in your heart. I'm speaking from experience. When I was going through Bible college, pastor school, learning to be a pastor, many, many times Satan came along, and he is the one that seeks to kill and destroy. He's the one that wants to take away your peace and replace it with fear. And God laid on my heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all of thy heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. That's my life verse. Whatever your fear is, get into the Bible. So, well, I don't know where it's at. We'll use this book, this gift from my wife and I, and replace that fear with a promise. I'm going to close. Claim every promise because they're yours. And remember that fear changes your focus, and it causes you to overlook God's protection, God's peace, and God's purpose. Going back to this verse, and I'm going to finish. This is a wonderful verse. And although it was written for Israel, my servant Jacob, speaking of the people of God, the children of God, we have been grafted in, haven't we, because of the unbelief of Israel. That's what applies to you and I. And God is saying to us as His children, fear thou not, for I am with you. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. The world around us is falling apart, but there is a new world coming. That's where my faith is. For I am thy God. There is no God beside our God. Amen. He's an awesome God. A powerful God. And He says this. He says, I will strengthen thee. And I will help thee. Some of you, you may be going through the worst period of time in your life. Maybe things are falling apart. I don't know if God knows. But I do know this. The promise of God is that He will strengthen you, He will help you, and He will uphold thee with His right hand of righteousness. Jump down to verse 13. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I, the Lord thy God, hold thy right hand. You know, sometimes children need that, don't they? I remember a number of times being fearful, and my dad grabbed my hand. And guess what? Fear diminished. Just grabbed my hand. It's okay. It's okay. That's what your Heavenly Father is doing for you. It's okay. I know what you're going through. Fear not. Because I can turn tragedy to triumph. But it only can come if you will implement faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. I close with that verse, fear not. I will help thee. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I hold you to your promise because you are God, you cannot lie. And Father, we're looking together into your word today, and you tell us to fear not because you will help us. So Father, we call upon you to help us. Yes, we can be fearful people. We don't want to be. We want to be people that praise you, that glorify you, even during the difficult times. Father, I pray if there's somebody here today who is fearful of dying, not knowing where they go, that they will place their faith and trust in Christ, who took all of their sin on the cross. And knowing that, they right now will repent of sin, recognizing the wages of sin is death, but the gift of you, our God, is eternal life through Christ. And may they accept Christ as their Savior. May they praise you for his resurrection and believe wholeheartedly the resurrection of Christ proved he is God. And may they, Father, rejoice in the salvation that you have promised them by faith. Father, prepare our hearts now for communion. Help us to understand this communion unites us as a family and reminds us that we were bought with a price. The price of the blood of divinity, your Son. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll prepare the table, and I'm going to ask you if you will prepare your heart as we have communion together. You know, one of the most powerful images in the church is communion. It is that of the church as a family. It is powerful because it focuses on the essential ingredients of relationships. In families, we are related one to another by blood. But in the church family, we are all related by the blood of Christ that has washed us and cleansed us from our sin. The same blood that's washed me clean and granted unto me eternal life is the same blood that washes you. No, we don't have the same blood coursing through our veins, but it's the same blood of divinity that is granted unto us eternal life. So we are family. And we need to love one another and care for one another.